trials and difficulties, but the Lord has been so gracious and so faithful to me. And He used His words, His love, and also His love was manifested through brothers and sisters in this church to restore me and to renew me and to raise me to be able to stand here and witness Christ's love to you all. So I would like to just give a little bit of background about this scripture. So in the first half of this chapter, John 21, verses 1 to 11, it gives a little bit of background about today's message. It's after Christ was crucified and He resurrected, the disciples Peter and six other disciples, they went back to the Sea of Galilee and they picked up their old profession, so they went back fishing. So they labored the whole night, and they didn't catch anything. So at this time, our Lord appeared to the disciples for the third time. And He performed a miracle. He told the disciples, cast the net on the right side of the boat. So the disciples followed Christ and casted the net, and they caught 153 big fish. So this miracle, we are familiar with this story, and the disciples probably were even more familiar with this miracle, because just 3.5 years ago, also at the seashore of this Sea of Galilee, we all remember there was another miracle. And that story happened when Christ first called the disciples. And story was very similar. During that story, the disciples also labored the whole night. They worked hard the whole night. They didn't catch anything. And Christ told them to drive the boat, to put the boat out into the deep water and cast the net. You all remember that story? And then, what happened? And they caught so much fish, they filled up two boats. So the story, these two stories were similar, but it happened 3.5 years apart. One was Christ started His ministry, and this happened 3.5 years after Christ's death and His resurrection. But there was calling in both these two miracles. In the first calling, Christ called Peter and the disciples to follow Him and become fishers of men, to catch men for Christ, basically to spread the gospel, to save souls for Christ. When I prepared today's message, John 21, verses 12 to 22, I paid attention to a few sentences, a few words Christ said repeatedly. Because in the scripture, every word is God's breath. It's valuable. It's commanding. It has power to us believers. But these few words Christ said again and again. So it must be very dear to our Lord. So he repeated to Peter and his disciples. So I listed all these four sentences here. The first sentence that Christ instructed, come and have breakfast. And the second sentence is, do you love me more than these? And he said that three times. And tend my sheep. And he said that three times. And the last command, you follow me. And he repeated that two times. So in the Gospel of Luke, we all are familiar with this verse. God's words have power. So he says, for nothing will be impossible with God. So every word coming out of the mouth of God has power. So as followers of Christ, we need to listen to what the Lord commanded us. And not only to listen, but to practice. Put these words into practice. So that's the main theme of my sermon today. To listen to these words and then apply them to practice in our daily walk with Christ. So the first sentence is, come and have breakfast. So I don't know about, I don't fish. I don't do fishing. But I know Gabriel and they and their father love fishing. But if you fish the whole night, if you spend the whole night fishing, it's hard labor, right? So so at this time, I think Peter and all the disciples must be very tiresome and hungry, right? But this is not the most important thing. I think at this time, what is the most important thing for Peter and the disciples? They got lost. They got discouraged. They got frustrated. Because they don't know what to do with their life. Especially for Peter. Just a few days ago, he just denied Christ in the courtyard of the high priest. Three times in the public. So he needs restoration. He needs healing. But where the healing restoration is from? First, it comes from food. It comes from breakfast. It's so different from what we normally think. But this is how the Lord heals us. Not long ago, I shared a story about Elijah at the church in New Orleans. Elijah went through a period of time he was in deep spiritual depression. He couldn't find meaning. He was so depressed. He asked the Lord to give him death. He didn't want to live anymore. But how our Lord restored and they renewed Elijah is very similar to our Lord is doing here. So during that story, God sent the angels to Elijah twice to give him food, to give him cake, and to give him a drink to renew, restore his physical strength first. So Charles Spurgeon, everyone knows, he's a very famous evangelist. He described this healing this way. He said, the spirit needs to be fed, and the body needs feeding also. These may be the very first elements in really helping a poor, depressed servant of God. So now looking back in our church, when we visited people in difficulties, in sufferings, I know a lot of us bring food. And shows God's love. And I remember when I went through difficult times, when I was in spiritual depression, a few families send very delicious food to my household. So God didn't provide me cake and water himself, But he did this through the love of Christ, through brothers and sisters. I got so encouraged. I knew when I saw the food, it felt so heartwarming, because I know that's the love from Christ. Just imagine when Peter and the disciples, when they saw the cake, the fish, Christ prepared for them at the beach. What's going there through their mind? So love restores. Love strengthens. Love revives. And I also remember, during my trial and difficulties, I spent a lot of time, quiet time with the Lord. I remember I was walking in the woods in my neighborhood. Every morning I got up early and I listened to the Bible. God's words has healing power. And I listened to the hymns. It quiets my soul. I can feel the presence of the Lord. It's just such a wonderful time. You can rest your body and rest your soul and get close to the Lord, especially during the trial and difficulties, because He is our refuge. He is our strength. So at that time, I was walking in the woods. Sometimes I walk a long time. So I listened to these songs, and one of the songs I really love is, He hides my soul. 他藏我灵, He hides my soul. So in that song, it says, He hides my soul in the cave of the rock, or in the rock. And that song actually describes the experience of Elijah. The quiet time, the waiting time he spent before the Lord during his depression. So I was joking to myself, unfortunately, there was no mountain, there was no rock in Louisiana, it's all flat. It would be wonderful, there's a mountain, there's a cave where I can hide and be quiet before the Lord. So I was thinking, yeah, God hides my soul in the woods, in the forest. But still a wonderful time, wonderful experience. I really enjoy that experience. God has been very faithful. So I always think about what the prophet Isaiah said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. To be honest, before my fall, before my trials, I didn't quite understand. I like these words, you know, they are very wonderful words. Me to listen, but I don't know much about the true meaning behind it. But after going through such difficult times, I knew God's love was behind our suffering, behind our trials. He is there. He never abandoned us. He never forsake us. He walked alongside us. He walked us through the darkness of our life. Because He loves us, and He loves us to the end. And in the rest of our soul in the Lord, and in the quiet time, in the quietness, we gain our strength. We stand up in His grace. Because the Bible also said, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. I just give thanks to the Lord. Give me a special time, a period of time of my life, allowing me to slow down and get so close to the Lord and get rest, both physically and mentally and spiritually. it's looking back, it looks very bad on the surface. From a human point of view, it's very bad. But behind it, I knew God had a perfect plan. So recently I studied theology. I studied two words. It's just awesome. One is preservation. One is providence. Because my English is not so good. Like providence, I look up, I say, what it means. But the more I study that word, the more I can feel, I can experience how God loved us. He kept us. He sustained us. And He willed everything happen in our life. Everything. He willed everything according to His will, according to His plan, according to His purpose. And His time, His plan were perfect for each one of you. So we just put our trust in Him. He will preserve. He will sustain. He will sustain us to the end. So we Christians are so blessed. We have such a hope and such confidence in our Savior. He will guide us no matter what happens to us. It will be a glorious end, glorious ending. So some pastor recently told me, I wholeheartedly agree, it's just wonderful. He said to me, our process, our sanctification process, our process of suffering, sanctification, walking with the Lord every day is the ending for the Lord. So the process is important for us. People normally like the ending. What's going to happen in the end? You know, what happened? But the Lord likes the process. So you and I go through every process is God's ending. Because He uses the process to glorify Him. I need to watch the time, sorry. The second sentence Christ said three times is, do you love me more than these? So, for Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, God used the similar words to remind Elijah. He asked Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And here, Christ asked Elijah, "Do you love me more than these?" Somebody said, "When God made the calling." And during God's healing, He is implicit. So He asks questions. So this is implicit. What are you, do you love me then more than these? So if Christ speak to Peter, if Christ speak to you and me three times, what's your true love in your life? From the bottom of our heart, what is your true love? What's the highest priority in our life? Especially consider Peter. He just denied Christ three times 8 days ago. And if Christ keep asking this question three times, what's going through his mind? This is an affirmation call from the Christ to Peter. Do you really love me going forward? So that's why during Peter's denial, the third time, he went out and wept. And what happened here, during the third calling, Peter was grieved. And he know how heavy these callings are. And we should know how heavy these callings are to us. Do we really love Christ? We truly love Christ. What's driving our life? And the Lord knows what's driving our life. Because 1 Corinthians 8:3, if someone loves God. Anyone loves God, he is known by God. And God knows our heart. I was like Peter. During my struggle, I also lost my direction in my life. I didn't know what to do with my life. So especially after retirement, I thought, what do? I just did some traveling. And also before retirement, I also tried. I said, maybe I should try more, work harder. Maybe get another promotion, get another pay raise or something. It really went through my mind. I was lost. So I was searching my soul like Peter. And then the Lord revealed to me during my quiet time, what do you prioritize? What's the true meaning of my life? I have 30 more years to live. What do I do with my life? What do we do? We ought to think of questions like this. It's simple but very profound. What do we do with our lives? Nothing compares to the fleeing pleasures, going places, eating good food. Those are all good. But those fleeing pleasures doesn't compare, doesn't even get close to what I experienced when I spend quiet time with the Lord. The profound peace, joy, and the gratitude. Just the closeness to be with God. That experience, nothing can compare to that. So the explicit calling, you feed my sheep to Peter 3 times. So I just shared with you in Luke 5:10, Christ called Peter and disciples to be fishers of men. A lot of the commentaries say this is a calling to evangelize, to spread the gospel, to bring people to Christ. As a follower of Christ, we need to listen to this commandment and do that. And this time the calling is feed my sheep. And a lot of the commentaries say this is a calling for discipleship. We need to build the church. We need to help each other, encourage each other, build the church. So we have 2 tasks as followers of Christ. One is spread the gospel and one is build the church, make disciples. So in Mark 12:30, and we all are familiar, that's a great commandment for followers of Christ. And you shall love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. It's a good reminder. Some people like to, I just want to spend quiet time with the Lord, just become a very spiritual. And some people like to read the Bible. Okay, they are very sound in biblical knowledge. Some people like actions. They just want to do things in the church. But here it says, to be a disciple of Christ, we have to balance these 3. We have to love the Lord with our heart. We have to know the truth through our mind, know the Bible. But we have to serve through our actions. And keep these 3 in balance. And to be honest, I wasn't aware of this, and sometimes I lost the balance, and I paid the price sometimes. And feed my sheep, the Lord said to Peter 3 times. I think it sunk in with Peter. Because after many years, when Peter wrote 1 Peter, and this still rang true. He still remembered this. He remembered God's calling the rest of his life. Because so many years after, Peter wrote First Peter, and he said, "So I exhort all the elders among you, shepherd the flocks of God that is among you." So like I shared, he not only listened, and he practiced this the rest of his life. So why God asked Peter and disciples three times, "Do you love me?" Because God is love. And if there is no love, church becomes meaningless. Ministry becomes meaningless. Because Christ manifested his love through cross, the death on the cross. And we need to manifest God's love through our interaction in the church, by following his command to evangelize and build up and love each other. It's easy to say, to become followers of Christ, just like Christ commanded Peter, "Follow me, you follow me." This is the first sentence I learned in China when I started learning English. "Follow me." Such simple words. But it's very hard. Think about it. Truly follow Christ. It's hard because you have to pay price. The disciple, this word, was repeated 250 times in New Testament. That's where God's heart is. Become disciples. Become followers of Christ. Christians, this word itself, it's the same. It's the same as disciple, apprentice of Christ, followers of Christ. So this is a calling for Peter, also a calling for each one of us to really take up the cross and follow Christ. As we truly proclaim we are Christians, we are followers of Christ. And what's the price? And in verse 18 to 19, it's clear. You have to pay a price, and Peter has to pay the price. "I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and carry you where you don't want to go." So I reckon, like me, right? At my age, I have like 30, you guys, some are young, and I have probably only 30 years to live, about right, based on my genes or based on if God's allowing, I may live another 30 years. But what do I do with my life? How do I die? Like Peter, he is going to die to glorify God. How do I die? Do I die to glorify God? Because how we die decides how we live. So, I know some of you are really young, but for some of us, it's an important question. And that's why Christ said to Peter repeatedly, "You follow me." So it's not an easy path. So for myself, I compare, and after retirement, you could just retire, enjoy your retirement and take a back seat and enjoy. And I like traveling too. But the other path is a narrow path. And if you follow Christ, it's not going to be an easy life. But like so many walked before us, as follower Christ, we are willing to obey and trust and obey and walk down this path, because the ending is glorious. And there is a song, it always says, it's the way of the cross, And I like this song because sometimes when I sing it, it purifies my soul. He says, the way of the cross means sacrifice. As to God, yield your all. To be laid on the altar, the place and the death, where fire will surely fall. So use suffering to purify our soul. Like here, the fire will purify our soul. And the ending is a glory, something we really look forward to. Like Paul was saying here, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for a eternal weight of glory beyond all comparisons. So comparing the ending, we have hope. Christians are, these words give us hope, give us strength, give us this positivity in life, how it deals with suffering, deals with difficulties, and how to follow Christ. And I just feel so blessed, and so many people walked before us and didn't even have the chance to hear the gospel, to hear about Christ. And we are so blessed, not only we can hear and we can believe and trust and follow. So I just hope, you know, we can dedicate our lives and become a truly follower of Christ from inside out, like our heart, our mind, and our strength. So just a quick personal testimony about myself. And so after some very hard struggles and difficulties, and I through the quiet times I spent with God, and also through fellowship and through the love of the brothers and sisters in this church, I prayed to God about directions. So God answered my prayer. So I answered my previous calling to dedicate myself full time to serve the Lord. So I thought first I would like to attend a seminary and equip myself. And so I called Pastor Chen to be my reference, and he gladly agreed. And he also said to me, he said he has been praying because he and his wife are going to leave New Orleans, going back to Salt Lake City to take up some new ministry there. And they have been praying for someone to take over his ministry in New Orleans. And he recommended Susan and I relocate to New Orleans and take up the new ministry. So at that time, I was shocked because I was not prepared, because my intention was just to go to the seminary and study, so not to take up this ministry. So we prayed a lot, and we basically said there's no personal agenda or intention, thoughts. Just ask the Lord to lead the whole process. And over time, we saw his hand, and his will becomes clear. And over time, and that gave us such assurance and happiness. So once I made a decision, decided to follow and obey, and it brought such peace to my heart and such joy, because the direction was clear. And God leaves no ambiguity in our life, and the calling and the direction is so clear, so explicit. So I said, this is it. We will follow, even though it's not an easy path. And but God has been so good, and brothers and sisters, the church, have been so good to us, and we are willing to be used and follow him, be a vessel for the gospel and to serve in the church. So we are very grateful. And I have served in this church in English ministry for a long time also, along with the brothers and sisters. And so I pray that God will raise up people, answer the calling like Peter, and raise up people, and call workers in his ministry. And just like Peter, follow the footsteps of Christ, answer his calling, and live our lives to glorify his name, to give thanks to the Lord. Let us pray. God, we thank you for who you are and what you have done in our lives. And we are not worthy, but your amazing love, your grace are so abundant, everlasting. We cannot sing enough praise to the Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for guiding our lives, leading our lives. And thank you for saving us, saving our souls. It's such a blessing to be able to follow you and to serve you. And we just pray that you will richly bless this church and richly bless brothers and sisters in this church. And so this church will be a shining light for you in this darkness, in Baton Rouge, and in faraway places. We cannot do anything, but you can. We give all the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.